All right, this morning we have, we know Dan Ryan, Brother Martin, that's with us every February. He'll be with us this February. His son's with us. Why don't you come on up? He's in evangelism. He used to work for, youth director for Brother Grandy, Brother Joe Grandy, Brother Grandy's father, and who comes here a couple times a year. And so glad to have him this morning. He's in town, and I know you're going to be blessed by his preaching. And so let's give him a warm welcome.
All right. Good morning. That was terrible. Good morning. No, it's good to be with y'all. I do bring greetings from my parents for all of you that they love this church very, very much and talk very highly of your pastor and the leadership here. And so they did say to give a hello from them, and they are doing well. Pray for mom. She is having surgery on her knee. The 6th, so 2 days away. They were able to move it up a couple months. She's been pretty immobile for a little while here, so but pray for them there, and I know they're looking forward to February. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read a bunch of verses before we get there, but I just want you to hold your spot there, and I'm going to try my best not to read the verses too loud for Brother John and too fast, because he sometimes struggles keeping up, is what he was telling me the other day. So, anyways, thank you, Brother John, and your precious wife for allowing me to stay with y'all as well. And I do appreciate that as well. When the Lord laid this message on my heart, I remember, I love the fact about our God is that you can go to him at any point in time, any day, just like we just heard, and he hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers, and he communicates with us, not in an audible voice, obviously, but in different ways. And I remember one day I was actually, when this thought first came about, I was actually at the church there with Pastor Grandy, and we love the Grandy family dearly. And I was there when I was having this thought in my heart, and I thought, God, what in the world is happening in our churches today? And at that point in time, I had been in evangelism for 3 years prior to going to Brother Grandy's church there to help with the youth pastoring. And I knew there was something different. And I thought to myself, God, I know it's not you, because our God never changes, right? Amen. Amen. You can take that check to the bank. Yep. You can cash it. It ain't bouncing, yep. Right? Amen. Our God is perfect. Right. And his timing is perfect. And I thought, God, what's different in our churches today? There's something that's missing all across our world in our churches today. And I kid you not, there was one word that came to mind when I asked the Lord that. And he gave me this simple word: we've lost our shout. We've lost our shout. And I thought about that, and at first, at that point in time, I just thought to myself, okay, that's a different kind of a word, but okay, our shout. And I started thinking about, I'm an avid college football fan. I love college sports. I love any kind of sport. It's just fun. I'm competitive, all that kind of stuff, right? And I thought to myself, man, I'll go to a game, and I'll absolutely lose myself at a game. A game that simply doesn't really matter at all, other than just a victory, right? And I'm not saying, I mean, you should want to win, right? You don't want to lose. That's the objective, right? But if you lose a game, you lose a game. You pick up and you just keep moving on. But in a game, we'll absolutely lose ourselves. We'll get mad. We'll get to the point where we're about ready to throw a remote control, right? A control for the TV, you know. And I'm notorious. I'll be like, "What are you doing? You missed that call." And my wife will say, "Honey, they can't hear you." And I'll tell her, "Love, but I feel better." by expressing that, right? No, but in all seriousness, we'll lose ourselves at any kind of sports, any kind of competition. We'll lose ourselves. We'll be screaming at the top of our lungs. We'll lose our voice. It's one of those things, right? We're willing to do that at a football game, at a basketball game, at a soccer game, at whatever you want to say, whatever you want to fill in. But when it comes to the house of God, we're dead silent. And God isn't, it's almost like God's not moving in our churches anymore. And friend, I know that's not the case, because he never changes. He's always the same. He's never once been different. He's never once been late. He's always been right on time. And can I say this morning, my God is worthy of my shout. I began to look at into the scriptures, and I thought to myself, man, just how many times is the word shout in scripture? And to my shock, it was actually 31 times the word shout is used in the King James Bible. And I thought, I'm just a basic kind of preacher. I'm simple, very simple-minded. And 31 times, if it's in there once, there's importance. If it's in there twice, there's twice as much importance. If it's in there 31 times, there's a lot of importance on a shout. I looked at the word shouted. It's used 13 times in scripture. The word shouting is used 16 times. And let me tell you, I believe the problem in our churches today is we've lost our shout. We've lost our shout. Here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, it says, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. 1 Samuel 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. Can you imagine what it would have been like, preacher, being there? And they didn't know exactly what it was, but they did know. They said, you don't understand. The ark of God is back in the camp. Friend, we weren't given... We didn't give ourselves the name Christian, the title Christian. We were given the title Christian by the world. And in that very passage of scripture, the world said, oh no, that it's come back into the camp, the ark of the Lord. Ezra 3:11 said, and they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto God, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, then when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalms 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalms 47:1 says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalms 47:5 says, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Psalm 65:13 says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalms 132 verse 9 says, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Isaiah 12:6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah 42:11 says, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Isaiah 44:23 says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Zephaniah 3:14 says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The last verse I came to is the one I ask you to turn to. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look here in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You can look it up. I didn't just read it however I wanted to. I went in order. I didn't read every verse. The last verse where the word shout is used in the King James Version of the Bible, friend, is a verse when God is coming back to take us home one day. And let me tell you, friend, this ought to be a joyous time. This ought to be something we lose ourselves over. This ought to be something that we're excited about. This ought to be something that we're so ecstatic that we can't contain our shout. And God says, I'm gonna come one day, and I'm gonna come with a shout, and the trumpet's gonna sound, and we're gonna go up to heaven one day. Friend, now if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what else I could, I would try to do a cartwheel or something like that, but if that doesn't excite you, friend, I don't know what to tell you, because hey, that's the final promise. God's coming back. He's coming back for Tim Martin. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for all the people across this world, all that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, friend, that's worth the shout. God's been good. God's been good to Tim Martin. God's blessed me with the best family I could ever even dream of. My dad, my mom, they're the most godly people I know on this face of the earth. My God is worth my shout. You know, I started thinking about these verses. Can I just say this morning that the devil loves a defeated Christian. And you say, Brother Tim, well, what do you mean by that? Can I say also that the devil cannot take away our eternal security? Right. Amen. If you can't say amen there, friend, I'd be checking my salvation. Because let me tell you, when the Bible said, when God wrote that no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand, let me tell you, he meant no one. Yep. Not even the devil himself. Not even God himself would do it, because that'd make him a liar. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hands. Now, you say, well, okay, Brother Tim, let me just say this here. We are living in a day and age where God's very own children, the ones that were headed on a dark path, the ones that were lost without hope, the ones that were down deep in the miry clay, right? Down in the muck and the mire, right? Up in Michigan, we have clay, all right? Missouri, we had even a lot more clay. When you get to clay, it takes hours sometimes to get through that layer of clay. Friend, aren't you so glad this morning that God thought you were worth saving? Yeah. That God thought to himself, you know what? I see Tim Martin. I see Tim Martin, and he's worth me reaching down and saving them. He's worth it. See, we get so caught up in the idea of what we can do in our own strength, and what happens in Christianity is that leads to an awful thing called burnout. Burnout mode, where you're coming, you're acting out the motions. You come in, you sit, you occupy a spot in your church, you give of your tithes, you give to missions, so on and so forth. But really, if we could pull back the curtains of your heart, friend, we would see the true need that you have of a shout. You see, when I got saved, everything changed. You see, when I got saved, I was an 18-year-old young man. My dad had been in evangelism for, I think, 10 years at that point in time when I finally got saved. But let me tell you, friend, when I got saved, I got saved. And the devil can't take away my salvation. And praise God, glory be to God, he can't have my salvation. But friend, he can get your shout. And I believe that's what's happened in our churches today, is we've lost the shout. Can I just challenge us for a few moments this morning on the simple thought, don't lose the shout. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this great pulpit of great heroes of the faith, Lord, that have stood behind this pulpit. God, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word at any point in time. God, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to live in America, Lord, where I can open this book. Lord, and I pray that you would just help us to realize what we have here in America. God, I can't do anything in my own strength. These people did not come, your church here this morning did not come to hear Tim Martin preach. Lord, they came to hear from you. Lord, and I pray that you'd hear our prayer. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Give me the words to say. Lord, when we leave this place, maybe we came in with the weight of the world. Maybe we came in discouraged. But God, I pray, oh God, would you allow us when we leave this place this morning to say you met with us, Lord, and we were helped. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for everything that's done today. For it's in Christ, may I pray. Amen. Don't lose your shout. Don't lose your shout. Number one, let me just challenge you real quick. And I've got a couple illustrations. This is kind of my testimony message. But number one, don't lose the shout. Don't lose the shout over your salvation. Don't lose a shout over your salvation. I told you a little bit about my testimony. I'm going to tell you it now. As an 18-year-old young man, I grew up in church. I was joking with the Sunday school class earlier, and I told them, I said, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, missions conference, revival nights, so on and so forth. I was born on a Friday. I was in church on Sunday, right? That's just how it was. And I'm thankful for that. You know, the world might make me feel like I missed out on something, but I didn't miss out on anything. I was sheltered, and I turned out okay. And I'm thankful for the heritage I have. But just as each and every person one day will stand before God Almighty, and they'll give an account of their selves before God, Jehovah God, some are going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. There's going to be tears shed. And he's going to wipe those tears away. But friend, we're only here for a little while. We just have a little bit longer. Who knows, maybe we have 2 weeks. Maybe we have a couple years. But friend, this world's lost and dying. And we as God's children, we need to go and tell them about the one who saved us. Man, I've never gotten over the moment I got saved. As a young man, my dad, like I said, my dad was my number one hero. To this day, the moment I leave here and I head to Brother Beck's this afternoon, I will probably receive a call from my dad. We always follow up with each other. Prayed for you. How did the services go? He's just my number one hero. Like, I just love him. Actually, in my phone, he's under my hero. That's my dad. Amen. And my dad, I love my dad to death. And growing up, that wasn't any different. But I remember I came to a point in time in my life where at the age of 18, I had just graduated from high school. And I had won all the great awards that you could win, so to speak, or accomplish in the school year. I won the Pastor's Heart Award. I won the Leadership Award. I won all these things. But let me tell you, friend, I was as lost as could be. And I was putting on a show, and I was putting on a facade. And for many years, I battled, and I remember tossing and turning at night, just thinking, God, I just can't do this. God, I can't do it on it anymore. I can't fight it. I just can't help myself. And I remember giving professions of faith, because it'd make you feel a little better, right? They were just professions. There was no salvation to them. And I remember I went to Midwest Christian Boys football camp. I had gone every year, year after year after year. My dad still goes to Midwest Christian Boys football camp in Dwight, Illinois. They still have the camp. They open it up. It's for a whole week where you get preached to. I think it's a total of, I think it's like 20 times you're preached to in a week's time. You have four games, and you have practice and all that in between too. It's a crazy week. But all the years I had gone to football camp, you know, I had heard great preachers and I had heard men of God get up behind that pulpit and they'd preach great messages. And I remember I had messed up right before football camp. And just to tell you a little bit about it, I'm not going to brag on it. I'm not going to talk about it because the devil don't need a pat on the back this morning, right? He needs a kick in the seat of the pants. That's what he needs. But I messed up. That's all I'm going to say. To the point where my dad was actually en route. He had just gotten to North Carolina. And he called me up and he said, Tim, I'm coming home. I thought, oh, man, I'm in trouble. As I sat there and I thought about it and I denied it, every bit of it. And finally, I just broke and I came clean to my dad and I said, yeah, Dad, I did this. He said, Tim, he said, I'll never trust you again. And I remember being an 18-year-old man, hearing those words come out of my dad's mouth. And I remember my world just fell apart. I'm like, what? You see, because I loved him. He was my hero. My other brothers had already messed up in life and they had already made bad decisions and they were reaping from their bad decisions. And he said, Tim, I'll never trust you again. I thought to myself, man, how do I keep going? Shortly thereafter, it was time for football camp. I still went to football camp, and I thank God that I went to football camp. Yeah. I went to football camp, and I remember sitting in the very back. If you're looking out, it was actually under tent, but we were sitting over here in the very back row. Seated right next to me was my dad. And I remember I was having warfare. I was sitting there and I was going back and forth. God, you just don't understand. And I felt like God was saying, you're not saved, Tim. You're not saved. And I said, no, God, I made a profession of faith. You're wrong. I know I'm saved. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. God, you're wrong. And as we sat there, and I don't know how many people probably walked by looking at me just in a daze, but mentally, I was in a spiritual warfare. And God just kept saying, Tim, you're not saved. You're not saved. And until you get saved, I can't rule. I can't reign in your life. So I thought I'd get wise with God, and I made a deal with God that day. Now I'm saying you don't make deals with God. But in my pride and arrogance, I made a deal with God. I said, okay, God, if it's really salvation, allow the preacher to preach a message on salvation. Because that football camp, salvation was always tied in, but I hadn't recalled hearing just a message on salvation. So I thought I had him fooled all those years of going to football camp, 10 years. The preacher gets up to preach, evangelist Daryl Murphy from, I think he's from Minnesota, I think. He got up to preach, and he always preaches crazy messages like, cut it off. He talked about the story of David and about how the greatest accomplishment of victory over David and Goliath was the moment when he cut his head off. And he brought that head before the king and he said, here you go. And he said, there's supposed to be one head of our lives. But the problem is we have a head of anger, bitterness, jealousy, whatever it might be. And he would talk about cutting off the heads, getting back to one head in your life. Jesus Christ. He'd preach messages like that, shake it off. You're going to get knocked down in life, but you got to pick yourself back up. He gave the message title. I saw him a couple years ago and he told me, he's like, it was a message on David and Jonathan. I said, no, it wasn't. Now, maybe you started with David and Jonathan, but I remember because I had sat in the back there that day and I told God and he said, I preached a message on David and Jonathan. But he said, in the middle of my message, I started preaching on salvation. And he started preaching. He said, you know, there's someone here that's not saved. And so I'm going to preach a message on salvation. And he started preaching. And you're telling me I was sitting in that metal chair that's bent. You guys are dented. You know what I mean? The metal chair's like where you try to sit and you're like, whoop, and you got to pull yourself back up. That was the chair I sat in that day. And so he starts preaching on hell, and I feel like I'm falling into hell. Like I'm scared to death. Like, oh my goodness, God, I can't. I just got to make it to invitation time. Invitation time came. I thought, you know what? I don't feel it anymore. I'm good. The preacher got up one more stanza. One more stanza, one more stanza. He had to have said it seven or eight times, one more stanza. And finally, in my heart, as a young man, 18-year-old young man, I mean, I was one of the leaders in the youth group. I started on all the sports, all that kind of stuff. And you're telling me, I mean, I got to that point and I said, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done fighting. I'm done. I give in. And I remember leaning over to my dad and I said, Dad, I'm not saved. And he said, what did you say? Found out later he actually heard me the first time, but he wanted to hear it again, I guess. I said, Dad, I'm not saved. And so we walked forward that day. We walked down that old-fashioned altar over here to the corner, and just a makeshift altar. And I remember kneeling down. I came down as an 18-year-old young man with the weight of the world on me, depressed, despondent, blue. I mean, I felt like the weight of the world was on me, and there was no hope. I was trapped. I couldn't make it out. But let me tell you, when I knelt down that day, August 8, 2006, on that Tuesday morning, let me tell you, when Tim Martin came down and he knelt down and he prayed and he asked God to come into his heart and save him. Let me tell you, he did that very thing. God Almighty came inside the heart of Tim Martin, and let me tell you, I got saved. Yeah. Now everybody has a testimony, right? We could all tell our testimonies. And let me tell you, I was on fire. I was ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Not making light of hell, but a squirt gun wouldn't do much good. But let me tell you, the faith that I had in God was off the charge. I mean, my relationship with God was off the charge. Let me tell you, friend, how many remember the day you got saved? Remember the day, wonderful thing. Now, can I ask you, how many of you remember the day? And how many remember the fire, the passion, the zeal, just the love for God that you had that day? Can I ask you, come to this day in 2022, is it still there? Is the shout still there? See, because once he's here, he doesn't leave. But let me tell you, you can live a defeated life and live a miserable life losing your shout. Don't lose the shout, number one, over your salvation. Can I say number two, don't lose the shout in your service form. Don't lose the shout in your service form. I'm telling you, every hardship, every trial that I've gone through has been in the ministry. We're celebrating coming up on 11 years of ministry. Every hardship, every dark valley, every trial, every moment where I just didn't know where else to go came in the ministry serving Jesus. And can I just tell you this morning, friend, it's not any different. It's hard. It's difficult. But the problem is we lose our shout along the way. And so then we're just serving God, but we're not serving him with the fire. We're not serving him with the passion. Friend, if you stand behind this platform here and you sing and you give praise to God and music and you play the instruments, let me tell you, that's a service for God. But let me tell you, as quick as that's a service for God, it can very quickly become a platform and not a service for God anymore. Let me tell you, if you do the offering plates, if you come down, you may think that's not a big deal. Let me tell you, that's a big deal, because that's a service for God. But let me tell you, if it's for notice, if it's for recognition, that's where the devil gets you. You begin to think you're something, and you forget what you once were. The devil gets our shout and our service. I think of another story. I mentioned I had thyroid cancer. That was another scary point in my life. But the one I think that catches my mind the most is my oldest son. I've got my wife, Andrea, and then I've got Bryce, who's turning 11 in 3 days. And then I've got Ezekiel, who's 8, Josiah, who's 4. And then we've got little Stephen, who is 2 months old. All boys. But when we got news that my wife was expecting Bryce, parents, you understand. The joy, the happiness. Like, wow. I know people that can't have kids. Kids are a blessing from God. As much as I hear people say, where's my brats? All that kind of stuff. And I might have said it too before. Let me tell you, they're a gift from God. And we ought not take that lightly. I remember getting the news that we were expecting a child, and we found out it was a baby boy. And obviously the joy, we were so elated, just excited, the excitement that comes with that, first-time parents. And I remember Bryce, I remember my wife, she told me, she's like, you need to talk to the baby in the womb. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. She's like, no, it's proven. If you talk to the baby in the womb, you know, just like they say, if you play like instrumental music and stuff like that, it helps the development of the brain and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, no. I gave in eventually. And I remember every night when I got home from work, I would go and I would talk to the baby. Hey, Bryce, how you doing, buddy? We're ready. We're so excited for you to come out. We can't wait to see you. The room's all ready. I just talked to him like he was right there. And he was. And I remember that day came. My wife hard labored for 24 hours, ladies. Sympathy, yes, for sure. Finally, I went to the doctor and I said, this is absurd. My wife is done. They end up doing emergency C-section. They found out the cord was wrapped around his neck. It was in two knots, different things like that. It's a wonderful thing that, you know, God allowed that leadership to go ahead and perform the birth there. And I remember as Bryce came out and you hear that first cry and your heart just like melts. I mean, he was just screaming his head off. He has Martin lungs and he's screaming his little head off. And I remember they came to me and they said, Daddy, you want to hold him? I remember saying, yeah, I'll hold him. And as he's sitting there and he's just screaming, they put him in my arms and I said, it's okay, Bryce. And I kid you not, he completely stopped crying. Why? Because there's a voice he recognized. He felt comfort. He felt comforted. And as they're sewing up my wife and all that, I was able to sit there and hold and just love on him. 3 months later, my wife went in for a checkup. She got back from work and was finishing up Bible college and got back from work and said, hey, how did the appointment go? She said, well, you know, they have some concerns. I said, what? They're like, yeah. They said he has a irregular heartbeat. And they're concerned because his heart's performing differently. And I was like, why didn't they catch that when he was born? Like, they gave a clean bill of health. She said, I don't know, they scheduled a heart appointment in the next 3 days. Getting into appointments like that isn't quick and easy. So I remember thinking, okay, well, let's go in and let's have this done. I remember we walked in, and just as a three-month-old baby, I remember I had to hold his arms down, and my wife had to hold his legs down while the doctor would do the ultrasound of his heart and his chest, and he's just screaming, and he just wants to be comforted. I'll never forget the doctor walked in the room that day, and he just had a blank stare on his face. He said, hi, Mom and Dad. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, so your son has a hole. He just got right to it. He said, your son has a hole in between the upper two chambers of his heart. I said, okay. And he said, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll outgrow that. It'll fill in, you know, over time. People are born with holes in their heart all the time. I said, okay. And he said, but it appears that your son's heart, his pulmonary artery, which is what provides the lungs with the proper blood flow. They said, we believe that his pulmonary artery is closing off. And he said, you're talking surgery. And I remember we were in the process of making a CD, and I don't know if my dad has sold our CDs here or not. I know we're out of them now, but we were in the process of making a CD, and there was a song, If You Took It All Away. And we had just decided we're going to put that song on, and it's about, Lord, if you take away everything, we're going to praise your name. Yep. And I remember hitting those words that day. We got in the car. My wife was sitting there holding Bryce, just rocking him back and forth, tears just flowing. I wanted to cry, but I couldn't. I had to be strong for my wife, right? And I remember going home, and she's just sobbing. I said, we're not putting that song on the CD. We are not doing it. Because if God takes away Bryce, I won't praise his name. And I remember that day, I went to work that night, and I only worked a half day. I was in my office, and I was mopping. I was cleaning up my office. And leading up to that, I pulled parts off I color code matched for vehicles. So I'd make sure the rocker panels would match certain color criteria and all that for the other parts being made in different plants. And I remember I'd pull off a part and I'd go in there and I would just lose it, preacher. I'd just sob. And the song just kept playing through my mind. If you took it all away, are you going to praise me? And I remember finally being in that office. I finally said, no, God, I won't praise you if you take my son away. The crew finished. I'm mopping. I'm there by myself. It's dark. That night, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I felt a presence that I've felt a few times since. But at that point in time, I had never felt it before. And as I stood in there, I felt a presence of God. And I just felt like he was just tugging at my heart. And he said, Tim, if you'll just trust me, I promise you it's going to be okay. And I remember that day being in tears and saying, God, if it's your will, I'll do my best to praise you. I went home that night, and I remember my wife, as clear as could be, in our little apartment. She was washing dishes. I came up behind her, and I remember giving her a kiss. And I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's all going to be okay. She said, what? I said, I don't know. God just told me today it's going to be okay. And we just have to be faithful, and we have to trust him, and we have to have faith. Bryce was his in the first place. And I told her, I said, and God told me we need to put this song on the CD. Long story, we helped a church in Florida start a youth ministry. We went down there, we came back, we decided we're going to go on it. We're going to go and accept the position just to help them for a year. And I came back to work and they said, we want you to train the next person. And I said, okay. Gave them all of the information, okay, I'm going to be leaving August of this year. This was in February or March, something like that. And I said, and they're like, okay. Well, 30 minutes later, I was called up and I was let go. I was fired. And that was before his next appointment, which gave me a whole month to go lay the tracks, lay the CD, do the vocals, do everything for the CD. We come back a week later, we have the final appointment for Bryce. The doctor comes in this time, he's got a big smile on his face. He said, oh, look at him, he's got good color in his face, and he's just admiring the baby. And he said, the hole in his heart healed over perfectly. And he said, and his pulmonary artery is not closing off. And he said, you don't have to worry about bringing him back again. His artery is just a little thicker than what, and some people are born that way. It's a little thicker. And they said, but your baby's perfectly healthy and normal. You say, that's just a coincidence. No, friend, that's a moment, a trial in my life where I lost my shout. Serving God, serving Jesus. And God said, you know what? Watch what I'm going to do. See, I choose to believe the worst case scenario, that Bryce needed surgery. But because of the faith of his children, because of the faith that we had, God said, it's all okay. Amen. And he took it away. Yes. Friend, can I ask you this morning, what's in your way? What's in the way between you and God? Is it in your service for him? Have you lost your shout about your salvation? Have you lost your shout in your service for him? Well, friend, if you're here today, it's not too late. You can get the shout back. The devil doesn't need a pat on the back. The devil doesn't need to have anything from a Christian other than pain and misery. Can I just ask you, thirdly, don't lose your shout about your Savior. You know, whenever you're going through a hardship, and I'm closing out right here, but whenever you're going through a hardship, you know what I've started to do, and I've had a lot of hardship since? I'll go and I'll read the story of the crucifixion. There in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, where it talks about how they smote him. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They didn't place it, they crammed him on. You know, and I think about The fact that our precious Lord and Savior, the one that we worship, the one that gives us voice, the one that gives us the proper blood flow, and the one that gives us the organs to pump and to do what it needs to so we can live, that very same Son, Jesus Christ, he came down to earth. He didn't have to. He didn't have to come and pay the price. But friend, I'm so glad this morning that there came a point in time, in that time of that moment where Jesus said, I'll go to the cross. I'll do it. I'll willingly go. I'll take on the weight of the world. I'll take on the burdens. I'll take on the sin of this world. And I'll die so they can live. Now, friend, I don't know about you, but I have four precious boys. And there's not a one of them I'd give up for anyone in this room. There's not a one of them I'd give up for anyone in this world. But God, Jesus Christ said, I'll go and I'll bear that cross. I'll take the scourges. I'll take the cat and nine tails. The Bible says that it ripped the flesh off and that literally there was blood flowing that you couldn't even tell he was a human being, friend. And he didn't have to do it. God didn't have to die on the cross, but I'm so glad this morning. And let me tell you, he's worth our shout. He's worth everything we have because he gave up everything he had so we could have a chance and an opportunity. I think of that little chorus. I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation, full and free. I can never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done. Can I just say this morning, you and I can never praise him enough. Friend, I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe you're going through cancer. Maybe you're going through a hard time spiritually. Maybe you're going through a hard time financially. Can I just say, our God has many things. He can comfort you. He can give you the strength that you need to keep on going. You just got to trust him. You got to by faith. You got to trust in him. As we talked in Sunday school today, the faith is what is noticed by God, and it doesn't go unnoticed. He notices the faith of his children. And friend, just have faith in God, and everything will be okay. Can I say this morning, don't forget who he is. He's Abba, Father. He's our advocate. He's God. He's the good shepherd. He's Jehovah God. He's Almighty God. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the fountain of living waters. He's our maker. He's our high tower. He's our defense. He's our fortress. He's our savior. He's glorious. He's wonderful. He's a jealous God. He's our deliverer. He's our day star. He's the healer. He's our the Holy Ghost. He's a great physician. He's a great high priest. He's love. He's peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's our comforter. He's powerful. He's a judge. He's our shield. He's our strength. He's our refuge and he's our song. He's our bright and morning star. He's Lord of all. He's a mediator. He's our help. He's our hope. He's a horn of our salvation. He's a Lord of hosts. He's a lily of the valley. He's the creator of this world. He's a chief cornerstone. He's my redeemer. He's my banner. He's a consuming fire. He's a shoulder to lean on. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of Judah. He's peace. He's a potter. I'm just the clay. He's the vine. We're just the branches. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the door. He's our rock. He's our provider. He's our stay. He's our hiding place. He's the I am that I am. He's the Word of God. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and he's the last. And let me tell you, friend, he's the all-sufficient one. Can I just say today, he's for us. Can I say today, he's worthy of our praise. Can I say this morning, he's so good. His goodness is overwhelming. Can I say, he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Can I just say this morning to those that think that they're left out, that they've missed out, he knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows exactly every part about you. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than your parents know you. He is there for you 100% of the time. That's my God. He cares about you. And can I say, he loves you. What this world needs is to know the love of our Heavenly Father. Can I ask you this morning, to the unsaved in the room today, can I just say He wants nothing more than to be your Savior today? Would you trust Him? He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can count on that. Can I also say to the wayward child in the room today, maybe you've got everybody fooled, but inside, if we could pull back the curtains, you're on a far, far side of a desert. You're in a whole nother area. Can I say He's anticipating your return back home? Can I ask you, would you return to Him today? And then can I just say lastly, to the discouraged child of God in the room today, hey, He's still on the throne. He's still there. He loves you. You're not alone. You can come this morning and rest in Him. Can I ask you, friend, have you lost the shout? Let's get the shout back. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you'd say, Brother Martin, I don't know for certain if I'm saved. My mom didn't get saved till she was, I think it was 45. She was an evangelist wife for 15 or 16 years. And she got saved. Can I ask you, is there anyone here who, this morning who'd say, Brother Tim, here's my hand. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm the only one looking. Here's my hand. I slip it up. I'm just going to acknowledge it and pray for you. Anybody like that, you'd say, that's me. That means everybody under the sound of my voice from what I can see is saved. That's a wonderful thing. Can I ask you to be honest? How many would say, Brother Tim, that message was for me. Here's my hand. I'm not even going to get specific. You get specific with God. I see the hands all over. Thank you for your honesty. Heavenly Father, do as only you can in this invitation time. Lord, thank you for your goodness. God, and I pray that you would show the one that needs you today that they can trust you. God, I pray that you'd show the one that's doubting you, going through some hardships, that you're still in control. Lord, may you help your people today as only you can, for it's in Christ my prayer. Let's all stand. The piano's already playing. The altar's open. I invite you to come down. If you raise your hand, let me tell you, if God would have taken Bryce away, He's still worthy of Tim Martin's praise. If God would have allowed the cancer to return when I had thyroid cancer, my God's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy of my shout. He's worthy of everything I can give Him. Friend, trust Him today. He's there for you. He knows what you're going through, and He'll see you through. Can I ask you, determine what you're going through today. You're going through it. God's got great things in store for you. You can trust Him.